Praise the Lord. Welcome, all of you that's watching right now. My name is Pastor Teddy Santos from Baltimore Christian Faith Center. I just finished addressing the church, and the gist of everything is that we are a Spirit-filled congregation, and we will never cease to be a Spirit-filled congregation. And I want you to know that this is the place where you come and receive your blessing. And your blessing could be in so many different ways. It doesn't only come in one way. It doesn't only come in the way that you want it to come. Your blessing can come in the form of you seeing Jesus. You having a personal encounter with Him. You receiving an answer to a prayer. You receiving your healing. And so many other things. You receiving joy. Peace in your heart. Peace in your soul. That in itself is a huge blessing. There are many, many, many rich people in the world right now. Many. Who have just about almost anything they want. But they don't have peace in their heart. They don't have peace in their soul. They would exchange anything for 5-10 minutes of peacefulness. They will say ecstasy. But what they mean, they don't know how to say it any other way. I've read this. But what they mean is joy, fulfillment, oneness. Well, folks, here in the presence of God, this is where you find it. And everything else that does not belong goes right out the door. Come expecting your blessing. Come looking forward to speak to your God. Come in unity and in love with zeal. Amen, church. Amen. Praise God. Thank you so much for joining this morning. My name is Pastor Teddy Santos from BCFC, Baltimore Christian Faith Center. We're already having a little bit of a late start. And I had already predetermined that what I'm going to share with you this morning will continue on tonight. And now I understand why the Lord said split this in half. Because I had some things to say to the congregation before we went live stream. So I would have never had time to do my entire sermon this morning. So I encourage you, I invite you to, by all means, come back this evening. If you can't make it, tune in and be part of this Bible study that we're getting ready to do, which is something that the Lord's been speaking to me all week. And I was going to preach about something else. I was going to preach about prayer this morning. But He brought me back to this topic. I said, okay, Lord. And then He said, and you're also going to speak about it tonight. Don't wait till next Sunday morning. It's too long. The people are going to forget. I said, okay. And now I know why. I'll try to be about maybe 30, 35 minutes. And a continuation of this will come this evening. And before we get too far, let's go ahead and start with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love You. And I pray, Lord, that we can all show You just how much we truly do love You. Lord, I pray that the peace of God would come and rest on everyone here this morning. I pray, Lord, that the peace of God will come and overtake them right now. I pray right now, I order in Jesus' name that any attack from the enemy, any ill will, any false spirit be gone in Jesus' name right now by the power that is in the name of Jesus. And right now I pray that the Holy Spirit will come and fill this place. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the power that we have in you. Thank you so much, Lord, for the authority that we have over all unclean spirits. Make yourself at home, Lord. Dwell amongst your worship. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In the early part of this century, an American ship was wrecked off the Scilly Isles near the coast of England. The sea had been calm and the weather was clear, but the vessel was caught in a treacherous current that slowly lured it off the shore and ultimately off its course. Before the captain and the crew realized what actually had happened, the ship had crashed into some rocks. Are you with me so far? Everything is great. Everything was fine. And then all of a sudden, boom, down goes the ship. Now, why am I sharing this story with you right now? In our lives, in your life, in my life also, powerful currents of compromise can catch the soul and carry us into shipwreck. Spiritual drifting is usually a slow and unnoticeable process. Spiritual drifting. We know it has occurred when we have lost the strong resistance to evil and the passionate desire for truth that once upon a time, maybe when you've given your life to the Lord, you knew. Maybe once upon a time when you were on fire for God, you know what that felt like. You know what it was like. On fire for God. I'm on church. 15-30 minutes before church starts, I want to be there. I want to have my favorite seat. I want to be part of the rehearsal. I'm going to start praying. I'm going to read my Bible before service. I miss those days. When you walk into a congregation, 15-20 minutes before service, and you have a third of the congregation already here reading their Bible in their favorite chair. Some praying. It's almost a quiet, it's a calm atmosphere. There's no people talking in the hallway, laughing and giggling, and giving each other high fives. You walk in and you whisper. Why? Because you don't want to be a disruption for those who are seeking God's face. You don't want to be a distraction. You come and you right away start seeking God. Most of us were in that place one day. I want to talk about this morning overcoming Compromise. That's the title for this morning's message, gentlemen in the back. Overcoming compromise. Compromise is defined as, I like this. Let's talk about compromise. Here we go. A settlement of differences by mutual concessions. An agreement reached by adjustment of conflicting or opposing claims, principles, etc., etc., by reciprocal modification of demands. Compromise. And often in life, our life is filled with compromises, yes? We are given a choice as to how we will live our lives and what path we are going to follow through life. When we come to these times of decisions, it is imperative that we make godly choices. We make choices every single day. You have the capability and have had the capability of making a choice ever since you've known what is right and what is wrong. Ever since we were a child. And we have made compromises since then. Because the choices we make at the crossroad of life will determine our usefulness to God and our effectiveness in God's kingdom, in His kingdom. And now I ask you, how much effect do you want to have in God's kingdom? Do you want to be a force to reckon with? When you set your foot in a place, do demons flee? That's a real thing, folks. That is a real thing. I can't put a time stamp on it, but I'll go ahead and say that after I've gotten married, and before I took this congregation, my wife and I used to go to your homes and have dinner with you. Just because. And we fixed a bowl of soup. We had the same thing. If we show up to your house, you already know what's on the menu. The same thing is cooked the exact same way, the same amount. And we left our pots and pans with you. Give it back to me next Sunday. You can't keep it. But you kept the leftovers. It's a way for us to blessing your house. I hope you liked it. And I'm not saying this to boast. I'm not saying this to brag, as the Lord is my witness. But when we come to your house, the atmosphere changes. It is a peaceful atmosphere. It is a joyous atmosphere. I've been into places where I walked in and it was dark. And I can almost smell it. I can sense it. I could even feel it on my chest. Darkness, sadness, gloom. And by the time dessert came around, oh, and it wasn't because of dessert. It's like the room got brighter. We got happier. We enjoyed ourselves. And I love that. Every single time I go, especially with my wife, and we sit down in a restaurant, we sit down on a table and we eat, that's a joyous moment that we have. And the Lord blesses our fellowship. He blesses our bread.
He blesses our water. And I love Him for that. I love it. And I give Him the glory for that. I give Him the honor and the glory for all of that. Something happens. Lord, continue using us in an even more powerful and powerful way. But the point that I'm trying to make is this. How do you want to be used by the kingdom? How effective, how determined are you to be used by God? We're not all used the same. We're all different. Every single one of us. But right now, I want to focus our attention right now on compromise. Compromise has been something that's been going on for a little while now. You know what I'm talking about. Everybody has made a decision to do something. Some people feel good about it. Some people don't want to talk about it. Some people don't even want to take my phone call. But that's besides the point. Our text this morning. We're getting ready to dive into the Word of God. It's about four men who came to a time of decisions in their lives. They could either compromise and go with the flow, or they could stand their ground and live for the Lord. The circumstances they faced and the decisions they made did set the course for the rest of their lives. And since this incident occurred, the names of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had stood tall as the names of great heroes of faith. Great heroes of faith. And what about Daniel? What of Daniel? Who could have ever heard of Daniel if he had compromised in this early stage of his life? Do you think he might have known who he was? Do you think he might have had a book dedicated to him? In the Bible? I venture to say not. His name would be unknown to the modern man. And we would never have received this powerful book that is in the Old Testament. With that in mind, it is good to be able to say that these young men stood their test, and as a result, we are all blessed with what they have contributed in the Word of God. We can all learn a lesson. We are blessed to know what faith is like and not compromising. And as you and I go through life, there will always be times when we are going to have to make decisions to do, hopefully, the right thing. And when these times come, and they most certainly will come, they will come, we will either decide to go with God despite the cost, or we will choose to compromise. The truths contained in this passage that we are about to read will help us as we face the serious crossroads of life. This morning, I would like to speak for a little while on this thought, and that is conquering. Compromise. overcoming compromise. Do you understand?
Two people understood.
We're going to talk about how we can overcome compromise. Amen? My prayer is that we can obtain the strength that we need to always make our stand for the Lord. That is my will. I don't want none of us to ever have to compromise when it comes to spiritual things, folks. Let's get into the Word of the Lord. We're going to read the book of Daniel. We're going to start with the very first chapter. You're welcome to turn there if you like. Daniel chapter 1. Give you guys some time to turn the page. And also you that's joining us online now. We're going to be on Daniel chapter 1, starting in verse 1. And we're going to cover a block of verses. Originally, I was going to read the whole chapter. Bam! And the Lord was like, don't do that. Praise. I love the Lord. I could not do this if it wasn't for God. And like little things like this happens every single day in my life. And I love them for that. Even something as simple as, no, don't read the whole book. What are you doing? What are you doing? Do 1 through 7. Okay, Lord. I'm glad I listened. I didn't compromise. Praise God. Are we there? If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Let's read the word of the Lord. 1 through 7. Let's go. Praise God. Here we go. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, with some of the articles of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the articles into the treasure house of his God. Verses 3 says, then the king instructed Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel, and some of the king's descendants, and some of the nobles. Continue, please. Thank you. Young men, whom there was no blemish, but good looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge, and quick to understanding, who had ability to serve in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed for them a daily provision of the king's delicacies and of the wine which he drank, and 3 years of training for them, so that at the end of that time they might serve before the king. Now from among those of the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. To them the chief of the eunuchs gave names. He gave Daniel the name Belteshazzar, to Hananiah Shadrach, to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. We're going to stop right here. Excuse me. We're going to cover these group of verses right now. And the first thing I want to talk about is the problem at hand right now. There's a little problem. These Hebrew boys faced several issues and several problems. You could agree with me on that. Each of these had the potential to derail them and pretty much lead them off into a spiritual tangent. Sometimes when things change, when there's a drastic change in our lives, we have a fit. We have a tangent. Right? We want to blame somebody. And sometimes that somebody is God. Lord, why did this happen? Why did you allow this to happen? Why did that happen? I need answers. Like the Lord owes us an answer for something. However, the problems that they faced were not that different from those we face daily in our world. For one, they had a new home. They went from one home to another home. It wasn't even from here to here. Not even in the same neighborhood. It was like this. Verses 1 and 2, real quick. Verses 1 and 2. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and took it over. He snatched it, besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hands and some of the articles of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the articles into the treasures of his God. That's a big problem. That's an issue. But for starters, these boys had to relocate against their will. These boys had been brought up in and around Jerusalem. There, they were constantly reminded of their God and of His importance to life. The temple with which was it sacrificed, where you come and sacrifice to the Lord, was there. The priests and the scribes were there teaching from the Word of God. The prophets were preaching the message of the Messiah, the message on the King to come, the message of Jehovah. Now, they are slaves and have been hauled off to a faraway land called Babylon. And here, they are surrounded by heathen worship, heathen image, and heathen people. Totally different. And it would be easy, right? It would be easy to conform to that. It would be easy to just fit in. And you know, folks, for the Christian, the danger is just as real. It is easy to be spiritual in church. It's very easy. It is easy to be godly around godly people. It is. However, when we separate from the godly influences that surround us, we are placing ourselves in a dangerous position. We are opening up our lives to the possibility of compromise. And therefore, it is important that we are consistent in our church attendance. It is important for us to be among godly people, to be around people that influence us, some people that are able to lift us up, to teach us, to guide us, to pray for us, to pray with. And we see this from time to time when people grow cold. They go away, move away because they're church hopping. Or they just feel as though it's not necessary to go to church.
Or they don't feel it's necessary to participate in the events, in what's happening. Or they rather spend time with others who ultimately will have an influence in their conscience, in their way of thinking. It is essential that we surround ourselves, folks, with God's people. Very essential. Can I please have 1 Corinthians 15, 33? Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. The Word of God said it. Evil company will corrupt you. It's very important for you to know where you are spiritually. It's very important for you to link yourself to someone who is strong in the faith, who is grounded, who is well-rounded, well-off in the spiritual things. There are different levels of faith. I always want to be near someone and be buddy buddies with someone who has a stronger faith than I do, because then my faith gets stronger. Because my walk with God becomes more meaningful. Because I learn things, and you should do the same. Amen. Come close to someone who you know has a strong walk with God. By all means, pray together. Do devotions together. Whatever the case might be, it's very important for us to be in fellowship with godly people. And it is easy to compromise and conform with the world when we are away from the influence of godliness. So easy. So easy. Now, we spoke about these folks, these boys who had a new home. Now, new knowledge. Verses 3 and 4, please. Then the king instructed Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel and some of the king's descendants and some of the nobles, young men in whom there was no blemish, but good-looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge and quick to understand, who had ability to serve in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans. New knowledge. These young men were taught a new language and new ways to looking at life. All their lives they had been exposed to Jewish wisdom. Now they are being taught the wisdom of Babylon. They are being exposed to things they have never been exposed to before. It is a dangerous time for them right now. There is much pressure being exerted on them to conform to the new world that they are in at this time. And I want to speak about this morning, about the same dangers that face the Christians in the world that we are in today. There is much pressure being placed on the Christian community to conform to this world's way of thinking. We are told to accept homosexuality. We are told to accept foul language, cursing, promiscuous activity. It's okay, and so forth, and so forth, and so forth. Have you noticed our world shifting? And now we are told to accept equality in the most demonic way possible, totally contrary to the Word of God. Our world wants us to compromise. However, God has not changed His mind about a single thing. nothing. What he said 4,000 years ago, what he said 3,000 years ago, I might as well keep going. What he said 2,000 years ago still stands to this very day. It doesn't matter if the entire world stands against it. The word of God is sure. And it is settled. And it is right. The word of God. And we don't compromise when it comes to that. May I please have Psalms 119, verses 89. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. How long is forever? Is there a time limit on forever? Whatever was back then is the same now. People might try to change the law. People might try to change the rules. People might try to make an argument and create a case and try to masquerade it with love. Oh, no, 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 no. By all means, my God comes first. Will always come first above anything. My God comes before any and everything whatsoever. If we are to conform to this world, our doors would be locked up right now. If we are to conform to this world, we would only have online services. It's very unfortunate there's a lot of churches across the United States and even beyond the United States who closed their doors and were not able to reopen. And that is very sad. I have heard of pastors of congregations falling into depression, borderline suicidal, not knowing what to do, panicking because they conformed. They gave in to the pressure. They gave in to the carnals instead of being led by the Spirit of God. We don't compromise whatsoever. May I please have chapter 40, verses 8. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. That will not change. That will not change. We are always changing. We are always evolving. We don't ride a horse to church. I don't have a carriage parking lot outside. Right? We no longer have to do animal sacrifice. That's right, sister. Thank God. Praise God. I'd be very messy right now. We come, we have electricity. We have AC. We have heat. We have instruments that we play. We love God. By all means, we adapt. We are doing things differently now. Sometimes I stop and I think about, wow, when I first became a pastor here, you know, things were being done how they always used to be done. And then all of a sudden, the Lord touched the man of God. We all know him. His name is Kevin Zadai. The Lord told him, buy him a camera. And I want you to buy him one of your cameras, the one that you use or will be using in your studio, which is a pricey camera. I said, okay. And Kevin and I were talking at least, I say, 3 months prior to him coming, and we were working this out, and he was saying, you're going to need, you know, this
device to go with this one here, and you need this software to go with this, and I'm going to link you with my camera guy who is like a genius, and he knows everything in and out, and he's going to walk you through hooking everything up, etc., etc. This was in, when I received this camera, when he was here last, it was in July, or June, July, right, of 2019. July of 2019. And ever since he left, I have live streamed every single Sunday morning, right? And it was, I'll be frank, I was a little bit uncomfortable. I hope you don't go back and watch those early tapes because I'm, you know, sweating a little bit cold. I was nervous and I'm trying to shake it off. This is 6 months before all of our services were live streamed. Do you see God's hand in this? He knew what he was doing. He was basically prepping me to be comfortable to talk in front of a camera, to work off all the jitters, fine-tune everything, work it right, you know, get our camera people in place, have them know how to work the system and everything else. Because when January comes, from July to January, you're going to need it. And then when January comes, the place is empty. And that's another thing that I had to adjust is preaching to the clock. Praise God. But this was ordained by God. He knew what he was doing. He said, I don't want you to get a camera in January or February or March at the height of the pandemic. I want you to start right now, right? It's given in to the things of God, obliging to the things of God. And as a result, every single service now is live streamed, with the exception of one. That's the Tuesday morning service. You can catch those services on our website, bcfc.org, if in case you would like to know, and it's going to be there on the tab that you can listen to. Every single service is there, but Tuesday mornings, that's where you can find it. It's not going to be on YouTube. But now, I'm conforming to the things of God. When the Lord tells us to do something, we do it. Now, when the world tells us to do something, we go to God first. We go to Him first. This is who we are. We're God's people first. We don't conform to the world. Let the Spirit of God witness to your spirit this morning. Let the Spirit of the living God preach to you this morning. I don't know why the Lord had me speak about this morning, but it's been with me all week. And that is compromise. It could be for all of you here, or some of you here, or you that's watching right now. Don't compromise. Don't compromise. This is what the Lord is saying this morning. I'm going to put a pause here. I've been speaking long enough. I'm going to bookmark myself here so I know where to pick up tonight. The word of the Lord is going to continue tonight. I do wish to see all of you, God willing, here this evening. I do know that some of you can't drive at night. I totally respect that. That's fine. If you are able to tune in, please do. Hear the word of God. This is an important word of God, folks. Let us not compromise on anything, especially things that have to deal with
with God. Let us not compromise on those things. I know this might be a little bit of a tough word. I'd like to be talking about much happier things right now and things that make us jump of joy and gladness and shout and all of this stuff. But there's a time for everything. And the Spirit of God wants to speak to you right now. And I'm delivering the message. Tune in tonight. I don't know if I'm going to finish it tonight or not. But we'll see. We'll wait how things go. But ultimately, you can overcome compromise. You can. And we're going to continue this evening. Amen?
Amen.
Let's conclude with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we love you. And we will always love you. And I pray, Lord, that your Spirit will speak to your church this morning. And speak, Lord, to all of the believers right now that's watching this right now. That they will stand their ground. That they would be used by you in exactly the way that you want to use them. To do things, Lord, your way and not their way. Lord, we don't want to ever have to compromise to this world. Forgive us, Lord, for our sins. Forgive us, Lord, for times that we did not believe, when we doubted, when we didn't give you priority, when we had second thoughts, when we let, Lord, the world have a manipulation on us, on how we think, what we do. Forgive us, Lord, for our sins. And I pray, Lord, that you would use us. May we not, Lord, listen to the voices that's out in the world. But may we, Lord, be fine-tuned to you alone. Lord, we truly do love you, and we want to serve you the rest of our lives. Blessed be your holy name, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. See you tonight. God bless you.